Sup, freaks. This rip of RHR was brought to you by our good friends at CoinKite. They produce the Cold Card Q, my favorite hardware wallet. It's got two secure enclaves. It's got a full screen, full keyboard here. As you can see, if you're watching, if you can't watch, just imagine something that looks like a BlackBerry. It allows you to create private public key pairs offline in an AirGAT fashion. You never have to connect the Cold Card Q to an internet device. You can sign transactions and PSBTs remotely in the most secure fashion. If you're a Bitcoin Power user and you're looking for the best security, go pick up a Cold Card Q and go to coinkite.com. Find the Cold Card Q there. I think you can go to coldcard.com as well. Use the code RHR for 5% off. Step up your security. Get a Cold Card Q. It was also brought to you by our good friends at Stackwork. If you're looking for a great way to make KYC-free sats, Stackwork has bounties. Go to stackwork.ai, find their bounties page, and contribute to the bounties. You can make Bitcoin KYC-free for completing the bounties. If you're a developer looking to scoop up some easy sats, go check out the bounties, contribute to them, and stack some sats. Stackwork.ai.
What's up, freaks? This rip was brought to you by our good friends at Obscura. Obscura is the first VPN that can't log your activity by design. Instead of empty promises, Obscura fully embraces the Bitcoin or don't trust, verify mantra. They can't log your traffic, even if they tried. Obscura believes that user data is toxic waste. In addition to private payments via Lightning, you can sign up with an account without having to give any personal identifying information. It's a beautiful thing. It's the VPN I use every day. It's incredibly fast. You can go on streaming sites with it. They don't say, hey, you've got a VPN. It just works. Go to obscura.net. Use the code RHR25 for 25% off an annual subscription. This is an incredible deal. Obscura.net, RHR25 for 25% off an annual subscription.
You've had a dynamic where money's become freer than free.
If you talk about a Fed just gone nuts, all the central banks going nuts.
So it's all acting like safe haven.
I believe that in a world where central bankers are tripping over themselves to devalue their currency, Bitcoin wins. In the world of fiat currencies, Bitcoin is the victor.
I mean, that's part of the bull case for Bitcoin.
If you're not paying attention, you probably should be.
Doggy, our pets' heads are falling off. Trump not happy with China. Rare earth metal tariffs coming. Markets crashing. We're here on a Friday afternoon.
Are you just dropping keywords? Is that just for the algo?
Yes. Pick it up. Pick it up with the transcript. Charlie Kirk.
Dude, too soon. That's fucked up. I can't believe that was only 4 weeks ago.
Yeah.
What was the title of last week's episode?
It
aged really poorly. No, the real YouTube? Title.
The real title?
Was it Bitcoin is going much higher? Yeah, we've only gone down since that title. I think it was Bitcoin is going much higher.
Hey, timescales, low time preference. It is going much higher. Maybe not this week, but
I agree.
Definitely over the long run. Yeah.
I opened up Fountain yesterday and I just laughed when I read the title. I was like, oops.
Yeah, rabbit hole recap. 377. We're on 378 now. 377. Bitcoin is going much higher. What'd you call it this week? What are we running with?
Bitcoiner wins Nobel Peace Prize.
Who won?
Did you catch this?
No.
They
gave it to me.
I don't want to butcher her name. Maria Mercado. Was her name. Let me double check. Maria Corina Mercado. She's a Venezuelan opposition leader. Loves the coin. Big fan of the coin. Alex Gladstein interviewed her last year.
Love that.
On a podcast. Like, it exists out there. You can go find it. I don't have a handy link to you for you.
This is a trade-off I'll take. A nice little correction dump, but a coiner wins Nobel Peace Prize. You know, you take your wins where you can get them.
Silver the first winner. Of many. We're going to start sweeping that shit. It's just going to be Bitcoiner after Bitcoiner.
Yeah, it's inevitable. Everybody's going to be a Bitcoiner by the end of next decade. So you're going to have Bitcoiner Nobel Peace Prize winners every year.
Let's start off. Let's go to Clark's dashboard. Let's get it out of the way. We're talking about the price dumping.
It's going to be a tight rip this week, freaks.
Tight rip. The Nashville crew had a busy week. We'll talk about it.
Yeah.
We're currently, guys, hold on to your butts. The current price of Bitcoin is only $117,840. Cuckbucks.
Oh my God, the world is falling.
Sats are on sale. One cuckbuck's going to get you 849 sats. We're at a $2.35 trillion market cap. We're currently at block height 918,469, which means we are 827 blocks away from the next difficulty adjustment. I recall last week when we read this, it was looking like a negative 10% adjustment. Blocks have sped up a little bit since then. Looks like the next adjustment is going to be on October 6th, the next Thursday, October 16th, excuse me. It's looking like a negative 7.1% adjustment right now. Blocks have been coming in at 10 minutes, 45 seconds on average. There are currently 3,946 transactions in Clark's mempool. And if I pull up mempool.space, there are 49,497 transactions in that mempool. Mempool's not empty. You need to attach a 5 sat per V-byte transaction fee if you want to get in the next block. 4 sats per V-byte if you're willing to wait a little bit. And if you're willing to wait over a day, 1 sat per V-byte should work. But I would imagine you don't even have to wait that long.
Yeah, it's going to be less than a day, bro.
Yeah. Interesting. Interesting guess. I just sat down with Vince Lancey, VBL's ghost, on Twitter. I've been following him for years. He's a gold bug.
Does he have any coin?
He does have coin. He likes the coin. We like our gold bugs here. We like our gold bugs. But he had this has been an ongoing conversation that we've been having on this show as it pertains to mempools specifically. And I really like this framing towards the end of the conversation. Not too many spoilers here, but all Bitcoin needs to do is survive. And even if people aren't using it in the meantime, it just needs to survive and be there and take advantage of a moment when it's ready to shine. And just because mempools are empty and people aren't using it now, just the fact that it's surviving is a good thing. Survive until the opportune time to really thrust on the market is how he framed it. I thought that was interesting. He was using gold as an example, particularly. We talked about the gold on warrants at the Shanghai exchange. And he said that that's a perfect example of it. China had the gold. It was in the Shanghai exchange. And when the opportune time arose to sort of throw a wrench in the dollar reserve system, they put that gold to work. I just thought that was interesting.
Gold is, I do love the meme, like, oh, well, what if we were wrong? What if it was just, it turns out to be gold? But I think the gold bugs are directionally right. But I think ultimately, Bitcoin is significantly better. So we'll see how it plays out.
You conceded that Bitcoin's properties are better.
Oh, I didn't realize I have my VPN on right now. I have Obscura on, so I'm going to turn it off real quick. I might disconnect momentarily.
You're coming in nice and clear. Are you worried about it? We've got confused altcoiners in the YouTube comments. Once a quarter, can you guys commit to getting drunk for an RHR? And we haven't done it in a while. We used to get plastered. And Matt goes, Knicks fan, 2834. I've got young kids. We record early in the afternoon. We're 10:31 now. We represent the fund and our investors. You know, it's a little bit uncouth to get plastered for an RHR, but maybe I'll start having more drinks once a quarter.
I get better.
We're fine before.
Yeah, so I mean, I think that's an interesting thing to watch play out, right? The gold ratio. I mean, if you look at, I saw Stony specifically posted it this week, our resident rock slinger. But that gold, the price of Bitcoin in gold terms, we haven't hit an all-time high yet. And it kind of looks like it's coiling on it. And obviously gold has been running like crazy. So if you do it in market cap terms, like gold has just added trillions and trillions of dollars onto its market cap, which is kind of astounding to watch. And like basically the majority of the world is just completely oblivious to it. Maybe not capital allocators, but like majority of people are. So I think Bitcoin follows and then supersedes, but we'll see how it plays out. Onto our title topic. There's a couple of pieces there about Maria Machado winning the Nobel Peace Prize. I see Soap Miner just zapped us 21,000 sats in our Nostr live chat. Easiest way to join the Nostr live chat is by searching for Primal in your favorite app store or using any Nostr enabled live chat. All of our links are at rhr.tv. Soap Miner says, Soap Miner will always accept Bitcoin no matter how low it goes. And I don't think he accepts gold. That'd be quite impractical. I would have to like mail him gold fragments for Soap. So a couple pieces here. First off, here in Nashville at Bitcoin Park, we co-hosted the Global Bitcoin Summit with HRF. It was our third annual Global Bitcoin Summit. It's part of the reason why I'm absolutely exhausted. But it was a great week as usual. The other reason I'm absolutely exhausted is because my son got me sick. The show must go on. You know, Alex and his team at HRF do an absolute fire job. Global Bitcoin Summit is a small event, intimate, high signal. We bring activists and Bitcoin builders, basically all types of freedom tech builders, to Nashville, to Bitcoin Park. And we have a great few days. So I'm on the tail end of that. That was awesome. You can find out more information about HRF at hrf.org and Bitcoin Park at bitcoinpark.com. Now on to the Nobel Peace Prize piece. That ties in really nicely into two Polymarket topics this week. And as the freaks know, prediction markets are something we've been very excited about for a very long time. Failed for that hype cycle multiple times with false starts, but it finally seems like we are in the prediction market timeline. It is happening. It is all coming together. First off, Polymarket raised from ICE, not the Immigration Customs Enforcement. the other ICE.
The Commodities Exchange.
Yeah, which is the owner of NYSE. They raised at a $9 billion valuation. $2 billion at a $9 billion valuation. So a little over 20% of that company, which is insane. You know, there probably is, in terms of prediction markets, it's probably going to be a winner takes most game. We'll see if it's actually Polymarket. On that news, Polymarket also added Bitcoin deposits and withdrawals. Finally, it's about fucking time. You can finally use the Apex digital money to bet on the top prediction market. And then last but not least, it predicted this Nobel Prize winner about 16 hours before the announcement came out. And it was a single Anon account that just came in and aped and big, which has always been the thesis of prediction markets. People are like, oh, it's insider trading, like blah, blah. It's like, no, the whole point is that random Anons can leak information and make bank off of it. And then we can all benefit off of the information. Like that is like the key fundamental of what makes prediction markets incredibly intriguing in terms of accurately predicting future events, is that it's using market forces to incentivize information leak. So I thought that was pretty fucking, I think this is the first time we've really seen that. You know, obviously prediction markets, like there's market dynamics of predicting things that have a lot of external information and people analyzing them, stuff like, you know, predicted the election win early. But that wasn't really insider information. Like one of the coolest aspects about prediction markets is you have a small group of people that know about something, and it's like there's like a game theory Mexican standoff. It's like who's going to make the Anon account and make bank off of Polymarket first.
And I saw the 1031 intern was tweeting. Are people saying that Anon shouldn't be allowed on Polymarket?
Yeah, they're like saying that it's like insider trading, that there shouldn't be Anon accounts. The prediction market that is going to be winner takes the one that's going to be the most liquid and the most effective is going to be the one that allows anon accounts. You absolutely need it because you won't have an efficient market unless people can do it anonymously and not risk external repercussions for trading on information that is not known.
Yeah. Let the anons flourish. Well, I wonder, like with ICE, the International Commodities Exchange, stepping in as a large investor, like, do you think Polymarket gets cucked with KYC?
Yeah, I think that's why it's super interesting because they might ruin it. They might ruin their lead. There's a decent shot. Also, like the way it's built is like very decentralized and name only, as is the case with a lot of altcoin stuff. So, I mean, the argument that has been made up until this point is that, oh, we have no control over it. You know, this is a self-custody smart contract protocol where we're not actually taking custody of funds and we can't control the markets. I think that argument is, you know, loose at best in courts. So we'll see how it plays out. But the other piece is like, if you're sitting on if you spend $2 billion on an asset, people tend to overcomply in those types of situations, right? They try and reduce risk and they can end up shooting themselves in the foot. Go on.
It's Intercontinental Exchange, not international.
What did we say? Commodity? Yeah.
Intercontinental Exchange.
But the important part is that it's the parent company of NYSE and it's not customs enforcement. So we nailed those two.
What if immigrations and custom enforcement was like, you know what? We need to diversify away from security.
They bought Polymarket. But yeah, the anonymous part is like people like to go to extremes or whatever, but the extreme people in the early days of prediction markets went with was assassination markets.
Yes.
And the idea was like, If someone knew that like a gang was going to try and assassinate someone or terrorists were going to assassinate someone, all it takes is one of those terrorists to be willing to anonymously bet on it to make bank. And then you would get advance notice of it ahead of time. And like, so that's an extreme. And there's obviously a bunch of, less extreme cases where you have insider information, but in a free market, like there just is no insider information. It's just more information that hasn't been traded on yet. And if you want this to be if you want this to actually be helpful for the world, you need to have anonymous accounts. And it should be interesting because I bet you it's going to become, I'm calling it here first. It's going to become more and more of a talking point in terms of Polymarket if they continue to find success.
Yeah. I think they're definitely going to go KYC route, get cucked. It will be like what we saw with altcoin exchanges in the 2015 to 2021 era. One will get shut down or completely cucked and another will pop.
Well, they do have the dino aspect. Like I haven't gone fully into it because I'm not trying to read like six shitcoin white papers, but like there's smart contracts involved and stuff. So like I could see like the main front end. Like look, the majority of people that are trading on this thing are probably doing with bank accounts and stuff. So they're already bagged and tagged. I think as long as there is a way for power users, if it's a little bit more friction, but if there's a way for power users to still bet on these markets anonymously, that should be enough. But if they like completely close all the doors, so my guess is it's probably actually, at least in the short to medium term, will be something in the middle, right? Where the majority of users are KYC'd. But larger, there's the ability for people to go inside, and it has to be in size. Like it can't be like a path where someone can only bet like $5,000. Like someone needs to be able to put $500,000 on insider information for these things to be like really accurate anonymous.
Well, we saw this, and I don't think it was off insider information. It came out. There's like two points here. The French guy who went in big on Trump, basically he was scraping sentiment and polling data, and basically put, I think it went in. Like his size was like $28 million or something like that.
Yeah, but we knew who he was.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
But to that point too, I think just doing a retrospective, there were many people who thought Polymarket and prediction markets specifically wouldn't gain popularity outside of election cycles. Like everybody thought.
Yeah, that was always the big use case.
Yeah. Everybody was convinced that Polymarket was going to have its 15 minutes of fame around the election and then die out. And I think objectively that's proven not to be the case.
The crazy part was less than a year ago, the founder had his apartment raided. It was like,
I forgot about that.
From gulags to billionaire in record time. It's like 8 months, 9 months. Which is pretty impressive. Like, I mean, that's just awesome. That's just pretty fucking cool on his part. What's his name? Shane something.
Shane Coiner? No, let me see. I just set it up.
There was a lot of investors. He post like after the fact, just I think today or yesterday, he announced that there was a couple quiet rounds that happened during that period. So like shout out to the investors who were willing to take a risk on him while he was like 10 steps away from a gulag. On that French guys thing, right? You know, it's an interesting thought process to go down in a free market world. What is insider information and what isn't insider information, right? Because presumably, I think there's an interesting philosophical argument to be had about there not being insider information, and it's just information that hasn't been traded on yet. And in the case, like, I think on the legal side, there's a case that's like, if you're public officers and you have, you know, you have a fiduciary duty to your shareholders, then that's where there's insider information, right? Because it's a predatory relationship. You're breaking that fiduciary responsibility you have with your shareholders and you're trading on it ahead of time. But if shareholders aren't involved and you're, you know, trading on open markets, you know, prediction markets that are about external events, I just don't think there's actually insider information. There's just things that haven't been traded on. But anyway, to my point on that French guy that did 28 million, what's really interesting there, right, is like who has ever historically in elections, who has the incentive to do polls? It's the politicians. It's the people that maybe are, you know, buying the politicians off or supporting them in the background. And then it's media outlets that want clicks. But now there's like a whole underground analysis industry that's kind of popping up that like if you can do quiet polling that you're not publicly releasing and getting better data than anyone else, like all of a sudden there's an incentive for having really, really strong private polling because then you can trade on it before the rest of the market realizes it.
Yeah, that I forgot that part of the story. That's what he was doing, right? Like he was sending emails to random people like he was doing the polling himself, actually.
Yeah. Pretty fucking cool.
It is cool.
I love this shit. And now that, you know, I there's this new prediction market that I discovered called Predix, PREDYX.com. Horrible name, guys. But that's a Lightning native. It doesn't have that much liquidity. But I'm so happy that Polymarket, the most liquid one, added Bitcoin finally. Like that's how it was always supposed to be.
Yeah. The Polymarket, great name. Kalshi?
Yeah.
Okay name. Kalshi, like they're going like the Uber, Google route. Predix with a YX, terrible name.
You got to say it every time. Predix with a YX. Like if you have to say the caveat, you fucked up, guys.
You're not going to get a really $9 billion valuation.
It's a really cool interface, Predix. You can sign in with a... Oh, did I fuck it up? It's not Predix. Did I spell it wrong?
No, I see it. beta.predix.com.
Oh, but if you just go to predix.com, it gives you a weird login.
If you go to beta.predix.com.
I know, but if you just do... Site. But if you just do predix.com, it doesn't actually go to the beta site. That's stupid. It just goes to an email and password login form.
You know, I like the brand. So I like the brand.
Beta.predix.com with a YX. The interface is great. You can sign in with Lightning. They have some interesting Bitcoin markets. They had a bunch of stuff around Core V30 that like obviously like is actually more liquid than Polymarket in that front because it's just something that like a tiny subset of Bitcoiners actually care about. But it's pretty cool. Play around with it. You can sign with Lightning. You can do Lightning deposits, Lightning withdrawals. Doesn't seem like it's quote unquote decentralized. Like, I think it's just a custodial Lightning wallet. But pretty cool. Pretty cool.
Yeah. It's really cool. I've never used Polymarket. Have you?
No, because they didn't accept Bitcoin. I tried to bet on the election. And then I just like, it was like, do you have Polygon or like this or that? I was like, no, fuck you.
Prediction markets are here.
They got angry about it.
It's a fascinating time.
I see Goulet in the Primal comments saying Shane is now officially the youngest self-made billionaire. I want to be clear here. That is like the most retarded headline, because there have been younger people that have been self-made billionaires in the past. He's just the youngest current one. Like, he's like 27 or 28. It's still impressive. It's still super impressive, but it's such an asterisk of a headline, youngest self-made billionaire. But like, it's because Mark Zuckerberg's older and shit. Like, I think most people don't realize that.
It's a wordsmithing.
Yeah. I mean, look, like, it's incredibly impressive that he like launched this thing in his bathroom during COVID, as a solo founder, just like all on his own, and then made it to, you know, massive billionaire status in a few years is super impressive itself. Like, you don't have to like make up.
Just a humble,
you know,
kid.
You don't have to like mislead people.
New York City, you know?
Yeah. Right. Yeah, super, super humble. Predix has Luke Dasher hard forks to save Bitcoin at 29% right now.
Ooh. I would take that. What do you think? Yeah, so that's October 10th. Core version 30 has been released. Is Bitcoin dead? According to Mempool.space.
Look, I think
block was produced 11 minutes ago.
As I said many times in the past, even before all this drama, like, you shouldn't just immediately rush to update the latest version. So I have no intention of updating pretty much anytime soon. Like, let's see how it all plays out. You know, one of the cool things that the core maintainers do is that they maintain security patches for the last three. So 29 will stop being updated only after 33 gets released, which I think is pretty awesome. And it just goes to show like that they also don't think you should be, you know, rushing to new releases. And to me, like, the concern is like the things that you're not even thinking about. Like, maybe there's, you know, even, you know, there's so much distraction about the op return relay rules being relaxed that like something else slipped through or something like that.
Well, on that note, I recorded with InstaGibbs yesterday to go over this. We talked about the later version. Well, he was on the live stream that we did at BTC Plus in May. And I asked him, I was like, what do you think about all this? He's like, honestly, after that conference, I just started focusing on other things in core, because it came clear to him that there was not going to be a resolution on the op return drama. And so we did talk about op return, how things get implemented at core, what are the trade-offs, but we mainly focused on the other stuff included in V30 as it pertains to like IBD. There's some
cool. I look forward to listening to it.
Yeah. So that'll be out next week.
I thought Antoine did a great episode recently with Danny on what Bitcoin did too.
Yeah.
If you want the core dev perspective.
Yeah.
But yeah, the sky isn't falling. The people that are like trying to scare you into just changing what software you run are on the wrong side of history here, in my humble opinion. And you can rage at me all you want about it.
Yeah, we said it 2 weeks ago. I think we're going to look back a year from now and find that it was relatively inconsequential. Could be wrong. I will eat crow if I am wrong, but I don't know. having been around the block for a while. That's the way it seems to me. All right, we got no list, so we're just riffing here. I've got something I can pull up. Obviously, gold's ripping, Bitcoin's ripping. The debasement trade has become sort of a popular meme in Wall Street. You have Goldman Sachs, JP Morgan, Mohammed Al-Erain talking about it. I think we touched on this lightly last week, but people in tech still don't get this. This guy, Nikita Beer, who joined Twitter recently, Health One UX, he tweeted out yesterday that gold and Bitcoin is acting like we're about to enter a period of hyperinflation, but no one realizes that AI is deflationary. It is hilarious to me. And somebody like him, from what I understand, I mean, I've seen this guy on X and Twitter and followed him. Do I follow him? I don't follow him, but
he's still got a rich fan.
He's very often retweeted, but like these people in Silicon Valley, it's like, but no one realizes that AI is deflationary. It's like all tech is deflationary. It has been for all human history. Like TVs are cheaper. We're streaming over the internet now. If you tried to do this only 10 years ago, it would not work the way it is. It's cheaper. It's faster. And despite this tech deflation, prices are rising. Because no matter how much you make technology more productive and more efficient and lean into Jevons' paradox, it cannot combat the ills of the money printer. Like you can have incredible orders of magnitude increases in tech efficiency and productivity, but as long as the government is issuing debt and printing money, costs are still going to rise. And people ingrained in Silicon Valley still don't understand this. We need to pair.
Yeah, they just fucked it up. They fucked up the money so bad that it still can't counteract it.
No, like I probably won't be able to find it off the with a quick search, but I'm sure you've all seen the chart of like different changes in prices over time, and you have like education, healthcare, food, electricity, housing, all up and to the right increasingly. And then going down, it's like TVs, computers, sort of other technology things going down and to the right. And yes, the prices for these things are falling, the cost to do them, but the money printing is so overwhelming that we cannot reap the benefits of that tech deflation that exists and is ubiquitous throughout our economy. And that's why we need to pair this tech deflation, like the optimal, if you want the optimum benefits of this tech deflation, you need to pair it with a scarce monetary system so that people can spend less over time as the purchasing power of their money is increasing. So I wanted to pull that up. Very Spencer Schiff take from Nikita Beer. Remember Spencer Schiff? He sold all his Bitcoin because AI is going to make an abundant future.
Yeah, Peter's son.
Yeah.
My internet's all fucked up right now. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. You should turn your VPN back on. It was much better when that was on.
I think it might have been the Noster chat that was killing me. I just X'd out of it. The more interesting thing is, I don't remember, when did Dorsey make his hyperinflation tweet? Everyone lost their fucking shit. I think the more interesting thing is like normie influencer Nikita, like tech influencer Nikita is just nonchalantly talking about like the hyperinflation trade. It's just like it's completely it's just been completely normalized, the belief that we're entering a hyperinflationary period, or at least a high inflationary period.
Yeah. Dorsey, October, almost exactly 4 years ago. 4 years ago in 12 days. Hyperinflation is going to change everything. It's happening.
And like, what was the Nikita tweet? Like the specific wording, like it started with like, it's like, oh, the timeline's all like worried about hyperinflation now. And just like, and yeah, it is. It's you know, the debasement trade is also just like a, you know, a worse meme version of the term hyperinflation. Like, I don't think, you know, I don't think the suits make the best memes. I don't know if debasement trade's going to stick. It's like kind of,
I like it. I like it. You don't like it?
Yeah. I mean, I'm fading that one, but, it's true. It is a debasement trade. I think it's like a little bit reactionary of a term. Like, it's not a positive term. It's a reaction term, right? It's an anti something. Yeah, we're entering an inflationary period. I think it's really, or we've been in one for a while. And I think it's too far gone. There's no going back from it. It doesn't matter if the US government and the Fed become more responsible with how they manage our system. It doesn't matter if tech is deflationary and we have massive AI wins in terms of GDP growth and costs going down. I think the train has left the station and there's no stopping it. And yeah, you should just amble and stack sats about it.
On that note, Logan, pull up the Parker tweet first, and then my tweet second. But like, Parker, good friend of the show, good friend of mine and Matt's. He's been tracking the price of ribeyes at, I believe this is Whole Foods in Austin, over time. And since June, the price of a ribeye, same ribeye, same store, up 6.2% since June. Now $34.49. That's 90% annualized rate of growth for the price of the ribeye at the store. So the compound annual inflation is 12.6% since his prior update in 2024. Cumulative 72.5% increase since 2020. So it's double the price in 5 years. Bitcoin is the only way out. And that's the thing with these events is, unless you're highly perceptive, like Matt, myself, Parker, others in the Bitcoin space, you're really not going to recognize it. So pull up my tweet. And I was having a conversation, I forget with who this week, but like really hearkening back to Weimar inflation. And this is the change in gold price and marks over a 14-year period. And here's the annual chart of Bitcoin over...
So this is a nine-year period.
I love this
chart. I enjoy the chart, but it's so stupid. Just annual candles for Bitcoin is just it's a little bit young to like make it an annual chart, but I like how aggressive the green candles are. It's provocative. But no, that's what I'm saying. Like, the crazy part, like the big takeaway from tweets like Nikita's and other tweets that we've seen in macro land over the last 2 weeks, 3 weeks, is that the Overton window has significantly shifted. Like you said, most people aren't paying attention. There's like the average person. I have friends. I know, guys, this is crazy. Like, I have friends that are not Bitcoiners. They know that that inflation is ripping. They're complaining about costs left and right all the time. Like, they know their groceries are expensive. They know everything is getting way, way, way more expensive. Like, they're not sitting there and being like, oh, CPI is, you know, 2.5% or whatever. Like, inflation's under control. They're well aware. If anything, they might even think it's even more extreme than it actually is, because they don't really have much savings. It's happening. Like, there's a realization that's happening, and it's hard to measure it, but you can feel it in the air. You can feel it in the air, and that's part of the reason why gold's ripping. Or that's probably the main reason that gold's ripping. But it's going to happen with Bitcoin. Like, people are going to slowly start to realize that Bitcoin is a massive tool in the arsenal to protect yourself and power your family.
Yeah. And on that note, I mean, especially if you're a small business owner, you've been handed a tool that can help you navigate that this week. Big news from Square. Long time coming.
This was awesome.
Anticipated. This has been literally since Cash App added buy sell Bitcoin in 2018. People have been asking when Bitcoin and Square terminals, and earlier this week Square had their release event 2 days ago. I don't know where it was, but they announced
it was in New York, I think.
In New York, they announced that immediately. Every Square terminal owner will be able to sweep a part of their card payments into Bitcoin up to 50%. And as of November 10th, Bitcoin payment acceptance will be live for everyone. So
yeah,
when's Coin Terminal now?
Huge shout out to Miles and Jack and the rest of their team. We've said in the past, you know, the dichotomy between what Block is building versus like the leveraged Bitcoin equity plays, like just a full stack Bitcoin powerhouse, publicly traded company, is a massive dichotomy. I think one of the big pieces of news here is, I think it's no fee. I think if you convert a portion of your fiat into Bitcoin, you're not paying a fee on it, right?
Until 2027. I think they're trying to
hook that's people awesome.
In. Yeah.
And then the big one for us Bitcoiners, that, you know, are actually holding the majority of our savings in Bitcoin, and have historically needed to convert it to dollars in order to spend it on things, is being able to spend directly starting November 10th. And I don't know, did they give details on how that works? Like, if I remember correctly, the original plan was, it would be on by default, but it would convert to dollars on their end, which is fine, unless the merchant changed it.
I'm not sure on the specifics. I heard people saying it was opt-in. So I guess we'll see. Next month, go find a local business that's using a Square terminal and test it out for yourself. But I guess that's an interesting thought experiment we can run down right now. So there's 4 million Square customers, businesses running Square terminals in the United States. What percentage of that 4 million do you think leans into this?
Well, I mean, a very small percent at first, but I mean, that's why the more important thing to me is that I'm able to pay with Bitcoin by default, and it doesn't change their books on their end. Like, they're just getting dollars.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like that's the cheat code, 'cause it's soft, right? Like, we shouldn't be forcing merchants to hold Bitcoin.
I think
eventually they will realize that they want to hold Bitcoin. And whether that's converting a portion of dollars or actually keeping Bitcoin that they receive, is really neither here nor there. I think that's going to be a slower process. But I don't know. It's kind of cool that it's a slider, right? So it's like, is there really that much risk to just switching 5% of your inbound into Bitcoin? Like, your business is not going to live or die off of that.
No. And Logan, pull up the, so I quote tweeted Miles and got this response. I thought this was interesting. This gentleman, Glenn Charles, said, "We've been part of the beta for 2 years. So everybody's been like, when are they even focusing on it? So it seems like they've been working meticulously trying to make sure they launch a good experience for at least 2 years.
Well, specifically, that's the conversion thing has been going for that long. Actual Bitcoin payments has been a relatively recent thing.
Yeah. But Glenn also said, "This has been instrumental in our success. I'm so excited for all the Square businesses that can now take advantage of this feature." And so this is the type of quote unquote corporate Bitcoin adoption that you want to see. Small businesses that are ingrained in your community.
Really cool.
Have skin in the game in your community adopting it. And that's like, what is the critical tipping point? And like, how does the word get out? That's actually something I would be interested, and I'm sure Miles has thought of this, Jack's thought of this, and others, but having people use it and then launching sort of anonymous data about it over time. Like, hey, this business converted 15% of their card payments into Bitcoin over this period of time, and this is what it did to the value of their balance sheet. Like, that would be
They have helpful. All that data.
Yeah.
I see someone in the YouTube comments. So my understanding is that all the Square terminals where you can spend Bitcoin out will be added to BTC Map. So you'll be able to just open up BTC Map, and ideally they'll probably add BTC Map itself into Cash App and see everywhere that Bitcoin's accepted. Yeah. But that'll be awesome. I think that's great.
And I guess another note on this too, if any of you recall Miles' presentation from Vegas this year, this was way ahead of schedule. They said they were going to launch it out Q1 2026, and they ninja launched it earlier this week. So that's good to see too.
No, I mean, I had Jack on Dispatch in like February or late January. And like, they weren't even considering it at that. They weren't even considering it at that point. Like, I asked him, like, he's like, Bitcoin should be used as money. And we're like, when Square terminals? He's like, well, that's way far off. Like, that's that we're not at that point in the adoption. And so it's been less than a year. It's been less than a year since that. So pretty cool how quick they're moving. I forget who from their team posted about it, but someone from their team was like, there was a sea change at that org in the last year and a half. And now they're like operating much more like a startup again, like very lean, very quick. Really cool to see. I see Bitcoin Rangers app does 21,000 sats in the live chat, in the Nostra live chat. Keep building locally, freaks. Been working on orange pilling local food producers and merchants. Got 20% off fresh caught salmon for using Bitcoin with them. Tap those incentives.
Get it done.
I will say,
get it done.
I will say since the Vegas conference and they like soft teased the alpha launch of Bitcoin acceptance and Square terminals, I've been paying attention to which local merchants have Square terminals and which don't. And I have some really good ones that do. So I'm pretty excited to be able to spend Bitcoin there.
Well, there's also some like big companies that use it too. I think like Warby Parker uses Square. Like it'll be interesting to see if like those big box, those bigger box stores. I'm pretty sure. I remember.
It's mostly small businesses, I think.
Yeah. But Logan, pull it up.
But I could see Warby started it as a small business and then they, as they got bigger, they kept it.
Yeah. So ALR, as he works at Square, was saying, or at Block, was saying tech debt, process debt, restructuring an 11,000 person org to face new challenges, cultural shift to lead on AI and open source and protocols, maintaining stability and global macroeconomic nonsense, you know, consistent quarter over quarter profit, GBV growth. And so I think Block as an organization has been in a big sort of cultural and technical and process re-architecture for a few years. And it will be interesting to see how these AI tools help these merchants as well. And if they give them insights into what the best sort of cash flow management strategy is for them as it pertains to Bitcoin as well.
Well, I mean, so Block is converting 10% of their profits into Bitcoin, which is awesome. There's a profitable company stacking to treasury. It should probably be higher. If you're a profitable small business, like I think you turn that dial up. Like with some of the most successful private companies we back at 1031 are like at the 90%, 95%. They keep like 2-3 months runway in dollars, and then the rest is just all in Bitcoin.
Yeah.
Which is probably closer to the right number, but you know, it depends on your actual situation.
Yeah. And I guess to wrap up the Square conversation, Jack quickly tweeted out after the announcement that it's time to get a de minimis tax exemption, to which Senator Lummis quote tweeted him and said, "We're working on it. We have a bill." So it looks like the drums of getting a de minimis exemption for Bitcoin payments are beginning to beat a little louder. Who knows if they'll catch on, but that would be massive. I mean, I think any Bitcoin payment should not have taxes on it. Bitcoin is money. We should just recognize Trump, it's money.
Trump should just follow through on his promises of cutting taxes significantly and just get rid of all cap gains tax across all assets, period, not just Bitcoin.
Come on, Donald. Let's do it.
We can do, let's do it. Do a tariffs only tax strategy.
Excuse me, that was rude of me. President Trump, let's do it. Come on, President Trump. I keep instinctively going back to Signal, looking for the list. I keep forgetting we don't have a list. What else happened
this week? There's no list. What about, I think last week we forgot to read the boost from Fountain.
I don't think we did.
Well, should we read last? You want to read last week's boosts anyway? This, you know, this week or whatever.
Yeah, we did forget.
There you go.
So,
to read the last 2 weeks,
376 all in Bitcoin. Foisey, 21,000 sats. Chicago meetup Sunday, October 19th at 1 PM. Discussion on urban egg mining and building out a Chicago Bitcoin event in Hacker Space. See Primal for location details. So this is good. Also visit PubKey Manhattan Sunday, October 26th. I'll be cooking my own menu for the night. Shout out to the PubKey crew. So late, but the information is not stale. It is pertinent and you have time. So Sunday, October 19th at 1 in Chicago, and Sunday, October 26th, I'm assuming Sunday night at PubKey in Manhattan, if you want to enjoy some of Foisey's cooking. 22,222 sats, twos across the board, palindrome boost from Stimmy, hashtag 40 hours per week with the headphones on. Odell, that was a good dispatch with Seth for privacy. Now I know why you're reminding me to read these. If Ashigaru doesn't yet have much proof of work, what sorts of things would you like to see from the project achieve? Also, shout out to Vake. BitcoinTutorials.org is really cool. I see Vake in the Primal live chat. So Vake getting some props from Stimmy. What would you like to see from Ashigaru?
I don't know. Just needs more time. We talked about it on the show. I thought that was funny because he zapped RHR, so you got half of my zap. That was a zap for Vake, dispatch.
He knew Vake was going to be listening.
Fair enough. No, I mean, just someone had told me that we hadn't read Boost. That's why I knew we didn't read Boost.
Those were the only two Boost over 21,000 sats for Rabbit Hole Recap 376. Rabbit Hole Recap 377, Bitcoin is going much higher over the long term. Over the long term, it certainly is. Maybe not since 377.
It's just like it's a little lower. Global markets are getting crushed right now. So what, S&P is down almost 2%.
Yeah, tariffs, man. Tariffing rare earth metals. China negotiations not going well. China, come on. Get with it. We need Bitcoin to pump. Read 21,000 sats Western Mass regional Bitcoin meetup announcement. Join us at 6 p.m. on Saturday, October 18th at the Dante Club in West Springfield to celebrate the third anniversary of the Western Mass Bitcoin meetup. Pizza will be provided and there will be a cash bar. If you mention you heard about us on RHR, you'll get a free laser engraved pint glass. Wow. RSVP at westernmassbitcoin.com. Cheers. That's
awesome.
Mention RHR, get a free laser engraved pint glass. I might have to go up to
Western Mass glass
on Saturdays. I did too. Those are the top boosts from the last 2 weeks. Sorry for not reading them last week. We were road dogging it. I'm still recovering. You got to overdose on vitamin C. I've been doing it all week and it's been helping me get back.
I love it. Yeah. I've just been going ham on electrolytes. Shout out salt of the earth. Use Marty's ref link. I don't get anything for it.
Got it.
When Odell ref link?
I gotta sit down with Sean. We're gonna revamp our salt of the earth position.
I think my family personally has I don't know how much money we'd put through that through the TFTC code for salt of the earth, but it's a lot. We're like on the reoccurring sales. I see someone in the comments asking it once again for us to comment on Core V30. we literally commented about it every week. We literally did already this episode, but I would just say out there, guys, like, if you're on the internet,
if you're making this your personality, if you're making this your personality, just rethink what you're doing. That's what I'm
saying. And also, like, if you're making the argument that open source developers should be liable for the code they write, you should look in the fucking mirror and ask yourself if you're the baddie. Like, you should just think real and hard on that, on what the implications are about open source developers being liable for the code they write, because they're not forcing you to run anything. So just think about it. Just think about it a little bit.
Are you turning into the spook that you're looking to run away from?
Yeah. I'm not going to accuse anyone of being spooks, but I think people should think long and hard about their actions.
Yeah. Across the board. This is cool to see. Logan, pull this up. Our boy, Matthew Mazingius from Porkopolis Economics. He tweeted out earlier today, Bitcoin is on track to pass yet another milestone this month, becoming number one across all cash money. Central banks publish this data once a month. Bitcoin has never, quote unquote, closed a month ahead of the US dollar notes and coins ever printed / minted. It could do so in October. So Bitcoin is digital cash. base money. Matthew is very principled and beats this drum. If you're comparing Bitcoin to anything, it's base money, which includes cash and M0 across all the world's central banks, and then gold and silver. Throw that in as well. And it looks like Bitcoin's market cap will surpass the US dollar in notes and coins. The amount of notes and coins that exist in the market or floating in the market, Bitcoin's market cap will be worth more than all the US dollar notes and coins that exist, which is pretty cool.
I see. That's awesome. I see we got 21,000 sad zap from Beefsteak Josh. He says, Mwahahahaha. I've had the benefit of having two beefsteaks over the last like 2 weeks, two separate events. Really appreciate you, Josh. I love beefsteaks. Beefsteaks are the fucking best. If you've never been to a beefsteak, you're missing out. Just amazing food, amazing people. And then we have our resident. Yeah, go on.
I was going to say, I've been going to beefsteaks for maybe like at least 6-7 years now. They're only getting better. They're only getting better in terms of the quality of the steak and the food and the recipes.
No, he's really nailed the recipe. I see our resident winemaker, Ben Justman, also zapped us 21,000 sats. He says, we're going to win. He told me how to pronounce his wine, but I forget. I think it's peony. Peony? I don't know.
Peony.
Peony. He told me how to pronounce it. It's P-E-O-N-Y, Lane.
Peony Lane. It's very good wine. Great table wine.
And then I see Dylan, chief of staff of Strike, good buddy, zapped 21,000 sats, and he figured out how to use a Lightning wallet, which is pretty impressive. And he's asking Marty.
I didn't even know he had Bitcoin. Bitcoin.
He scooped up some Bitcoin on Strike just to zap us. He says, Marty, give us a scorching hot take, something that makes Odell nervous.
I got to think about this one. And what if I've been avoiding the black pit. Look, he's already nervous. I haven't even said anything yet. He's scratching his arm.
No, I'm just, there's someone in the YouTube live chat who can go fuck themselves.
Scorching. I don't know if I have a scorching hot take right now. What would make you nervous? I don't know if I can make you nervous. Yeah. I mean the whole Israel thing, it's like complete Overton window shifts. Like nobody likes AIPAC anymore. People are calling it out. It's like, okay.
Like, yeah, I mean, that's not
ever going to talk about that.
That's a consensus take, bro. That's
yeah, exactly. Take, bro. Yeah. It's like, no, and everything's calmed down now. It's like, yeah, I'm an old man now. I've got three children. Who was I joking with at our 10:31 event? So I'm just like, I want to tap a young Zoomer on the shoulder and be like, I don't have it in me anymore, brother. I can't fall down these rabbit holes anymore. Go do it. I'm going to focus on Bitcoin adoption and proliferation. Where do we go from here? Anything else we should touch on?
I got nothing really. Look, I mean, I think, I don't know. I wasn't really paying attention to the news this week. I was really busy.
What was the most inspiring or the coolest thing that you saw this week?
I don't know. There's a bit of Chatham House rules, but the coolest part is always working with the activists. You know, we did the first activist training session in 2019. In January 2019 at Cash App headquarters, it was like three Bitcoiners and like nine activists. Miles hosted at Cash App. And the tools fucking sucked. We were using like Green Wallet, BTC Pay Server didn't exist, Lightning barely existed. And we've come a long fucking way. Like, we've come really, really far. One of the activists was using Bolt 12. It's like, wow. It's like the first time I saw a Bolt 12 QR code in the wild. I think Phoenix Wallet's the only thing that spends and receives from it. But it's always inspiring and then frustrating, right? Because you realize time is of the essence and you need to get shit done. Like, we need these things yesterday. But then inspiring because, you know, these people, like, their lives are on the line on a constant basis. And I've just never had to live under that kind of pressure.
Yeah.
So just want to do right by them.
And I was talking to somebody earlier this week on a call, and that's like, they were talking about Trojan horse, like juxtaposing. You can juxtapose like what Jack's doing at Block and Square and BitKey and Proto and Spiral to Sailor and the other treasury companies. But when it comes to like optimism for Bitcoin actually becoming money, it's like what we're seeing with the activists, how people in emerging economies are leveraging Bitcoin, not because they want to, because they need to. It's the only thing that works for them. That's the thing that gives me confidence that Bitcoin's ultimate success is, I don't want to say inevitable, but I'm very optimistic about it, because Bitcoin is a tool that can do things that nothing else can do. And people, whether you realize it or not, here in the West, people need it and they're using it. They're finding it. It's getting better. The UX is increasing, and we should all be proud and happy that it's getting better.
100%. But still lots and lots of work to be done. Can't pull our foot off the gas. We need to accelerate. We need to do more. Yes. Time is of the essence. That actually reminds me, another piece that is, you know, becoming more and more important is, you know, private and secure, actually open AI tools. And Maple had a huge release, a huge beta release over the last few days, a complete rewrite of their stack. That includes a new test flight app on iPhone and a new beta APK for Android. So if you, they're calling for people to test it and give feedback, because it's going to completely new rewrite. Trymaple.ai is their website. But I'm pretty excited about it. Like, it works way better now. It's fucking awesome.
It really does.
So we're really narrowing the gap between the proprietary walled garden surveillance tools and the open alternatives, the private, secure, open alternatives. So really good to see.
Yeah. And does it have access to, does this one have access to the internet?
So I was playing around with it. That's going to be the next one.
I was playing around with it, and just to do research before my interview with InstaGibbs, and was asking about, see what it knew about Core 30, Core version 30. And it had a...
Well, which model were you asking?
DeepSeek R1.
Yeah, so it's like the newer models, they have more up-to-date information, right? But they don't have real-time information.
Yeah.
Right, like, so they just added the newest DeepSeek model and the newest open source GPT model. And so those both end, you know, late 24 or something in terms of their knowledge base. But the real unlock is once you have real-time search integrated as well, so that they can actually analyze up-to-date information, like within the last hour or so. And that's going to be a massive unlock. And it's really hard to do in a privacy preserving way, which is why it's taken a while. I'm pretty excited about that.
Shout out to those guys. And Logan, I know I'm going to respect your time this week. I'm not going to drag you. I know you want to do a tight hour. I know you're not feeling good, but, I read about this in the newsletter, and I just think, you know what? Send everybody into the weekend with good vibes. Maybe good. Like, this will, I think it will arrange you, but it may depress you a little bit, but also it will inspire you by the end of it. Logan, pull it up. I think everybody should watch this 15-minute short film by Sheehan Quirk, known as the cultural tutor on Twitter.
We're not going to watch it now, though, right?
No, we're not watching now. It's like 20 minutes, but
I watched some of it because you posted in one of our group chats.
I fat fingered. Thank God it was that YouTube video that I sent in there by accident. And
it was pretty funny. The other one too. I watched the other one.
The other one was good.
Marty sent the wrong YouTube video to a group chat with all of our portfolio companies in it. And then like 6 hours later, it was like, oops, my bad. This was the YouTube video I was supposed to send, but the other one's a banger as well.
And this is the accidental one. So how did the world get so ugly? The cultural tutor on
this YouTube. This was the mistake one, right?
Yeah. Yeah. This is really good. Check it out.
Yeah. No, I mean, look, I think vibes are high. I think people should step away from the keyboard and touch grass a little bit. Marty and his team made a 1031 focused AI video this week. That was awesome. So thank you, Marty, for that. You're quite impressive. You and what is it, Elijah is your
Elijah. I can't take any Elijah. Your wizard? Took this bull by, he's one of the wizards. He took the bull by the horns and did it. Soup to nuts all by himself. So,
but the reason I bring it up is because, like, the core of it, right? It's like build for 100 years. Like, this shit is a marathon, not a sprint. Like, you got to lock in and you got to grind it out.
Yeah. I literally just had that discussion with Vince Lancey for TFTC. It'll come out next week. Like, it's, he said, he's like, I'm a gold bug. Bitcoin will be massively successful when I'm dead. Not because he's dead, but it's going to take 2 generations, 3 generations to really get it to where it needs to be. And you, as somebody who may not want to wait 3 generations, maybe you don't have the luxury to, and you want it to happen now, you just have to come to grips with the fact that it's not just going to happen now. It takes time.
But we can accelerate it. We should accelerate it.
Yes.
Massive accelerationist vibes right now. Accelerate.
Yeah.
Awesome. Stay humble, stack sets.
Peace and love, freaks.
Okay. Peony.